Okay, there's no one on my channel who doesn't know who this guy is. But I have begun this reverse engineering campaign of my own to get all the fellows and the occasional female whom I interview with, who are so welcoming for me and bring me onto their show when I have something new to rant and rave about or a new piece of work. And I'm starting, of course I am, starting with Randy Moggins, my friend Randy Moggins, who I'm going to go ahead and refer to as the Emperor of Off Planet Radio. Can I do that?
I guess you can.
That's the name of your video too, isn't it? It's not just radio.
It's TV. It's media. It's Off Planet Media.
Okay, let's say media because right now it just says radio everywhere. Off Planet Media. I remember when I first started doing this with Randy, he said, you know, I have a TV show that no one ever wants to go on because they don't want to have to wash their hair and put on makeup and stuff like that. So I started to be one of the only first people who did the TV part of this.
You did, yes.
I did. Yeah. And I would do, like, I remember at the last minute saying, all right, fine, put me on video. And I'd have my glasses and I'd jam my baseball cap
and down my head. And it was great.
I looked like hell, but that's okay. I didn't care. So I really just wanted to talk about what I was talking about. Anyway, there's a couple of things to talk about today, right, Randy? And Randy's my guest now, so I honestly don't know how. That's my husband puttering around in the background, by the way. I don't know how to not talk, Randy, and it's really your turn. And I really just want to ask you questions about this stuff. A couple of other things.
Can I get a latte while he's brewing back there?
Yeah, you want to? Yeah. Randy would like to know if you'll brew him a latte, please. Well, you're on the show, dude.
There we go. All right. See that?
Never fails.
Cyber beverages.
Never fails. Okay, this is what I was doing with Mark Devlin. Devlin, you know, we were trying to sort of get the whole thing started, and his kids were climbing all over him. So I said, that used to happen to me. That's how I wrote my first book. Thank you. It was with children hanging off my computer, you know?
Yep.
I think it took me an hour. Thank you, Yash. I am grateful. Anyway, where's your wife, by the way? You need to get her on here one of these days.
She will not do this. No, no.
She will not?
No, she
will not. Not even stick her head in sideways or anything?
This is my world. She views this as my world. She says, this is your thing. You do it. I'm not interested.
Yeah, but you know, I love this folksy stuff like Yashka handed me coffee and like I did a bunch of episodes of 13 that my daughter was in and out of, you know, trying
to
help.
We've done shows where we had cats jumping across the screen and
people love it. Yeah, but we're just folks, you know?
We're the anti-media. We're the media that's out there on the edge pushing the real human side of this. That's actually the beauty of what
we do. That's the thing. That's the thing. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. The first thing, in fact, let's just get that out of the way because it's kind of on, I think it's on our minds all the time right now. At least it's kind of on my mind all the time right now. And it has been since last summer, that big event last summer that you know, changed everything for us. What we've all been thinking about since then is how we get our message across, who we talk to, what our constellations are, what's actually going on, what's effective, what's not effective, what's bullshit. What's circus? What's hype? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been trying to. I have long had it in my heart, really, to host an event of my own somewhere once a year. This year, it would have been revolving around the book that Maria Wheatley and I wrote, Guardians of Blood and Fire, because we really haven't debuted that yet. And I was lucky enough to get Mark Devlin to agree to come. He lives not so far from me right now. And he's really a fantastic person. He's got lots of good stuff to contribute to any, I don't care what your topic is, let him bring his stuff.
He's a really good person. I met Mark in Philadelphia last month. We hung out together. He's one of the people in this media domain that is a real human being. He's exactly what he seems to be, and there's no pretense.
That's the thing, we're collecting those people, but it's a very slow process right now.
Yeah, yeah.
What's happening right now, which I find absolutely horrifying, is it used to be, in 2011 or so, when I really just kind of started trying to make my voice heard in the United States, there was one big group of geoengineering people who were talking about it, and they were kind of clumped up already, They were already a gang of good old people, and they still are. And they're gatekeepers, basically. They want to keep that information, even if they have sort of semi-good motives underneath it all, they want to corral that information and make it theirs and probably just make money off it.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're still in business. They're still in business. I just saw Max Bliss get into a big thing with one of those sites run by a couple of those guys. Anyway, Max Bliss now lives in Europe, or at least temporarily, so I'm trying to get something going with him. And Max Egan will be here in England 28th May, so I'm going to go interview him as well.
Yeah.
Regardless, what it is, Randy, as you know, is these people have sponsors. These people have investors, you know? And an investor invests in something to make money. This has become a commodity. This is something that gets really slick and really Hollywood. And you see the same dozen people on the same bill all the time because this is kind of the stable of players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, that's been the theme. That's been the theme of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In terms of what I've been doing, because I started posting about Contact in the Desert event that's going to go on out of Joshua Tree and Corey Good and Gaiam TV, and how this whole thing is basically a gigantic business operation of a proportion of people in the alternative media don't understand.
Nope.
The level of finance, the legal aspects of this, and how, to dovetail into something you and I tossed about earlier today, mm-hmm. corporate fictions are being spun off into what is essentially an entertainment market.
Yeah, exactly. So what I have said today, because I'm getting ready to completely jettison this whole teaching gig and go into this kind of thing full time. There's two things, and you know, I'm going to ask. This is just a conversation, guys. This is how Randy and I work. So I'm sure if you've watched us, you're used to this.
Flow.
Completely used to this. Anyway, so what I've said today in several places is most of us don't have backing. Most of us are funding this ourselves, right?
Yep.
And those of us who are doing that, which is 99.9% of us, have better, cleaner information, okay? So if you're getting dazzled, you know, somebody's got the bedazzler out and they're making shiny activists for you with Hollywood faces and, you know, big events. This is just the Roman circus again. Welcome to the crap again. Welcome. Okay. You haven't left anything. You haven't left anything. You're just going right back into a different version of the same crap. Okay. So now tomorrow is my first rollout of a kind of a truncated version of the studio workshop, where I teach people, hopefully, some methods of trying to regain control of their own thoughts. And now on top of this chemtrail news, I find that to be urgent. I find that to be something now of an emergency. I don't know that I can go somewhere and turn off the chemtrails, okay? But I can go into people's houses and try to help them, say, you know, get this chemical lobotomy unplugged a little bit. Try to get control of their own thoughts again, I hope. So I'm going to do it every week. I'm going to do it every week on this platform, zoom.us. I don't care if I have to do it every night. You know what I mean?
I kind of woke up this morning seeing the articles that you had posted and some of the other news items that I was looking at. I don't like starting my day that way, but I knew we were going to have a talk today.
Yeah.
There is a sense of hopelessness and helplessness that kicks in, largely because how in the hell am I able to reach up in the sky and begin to pull down these planes that are flying at 23,500 feet over my head, aerosoling everybody?
Right, exactly.
And, the larger issue is awareness. It is putting the information out. You know, and there is a genuine grassroots awakening. I'm very gratified. I'm actually been contacted by members of my own family, some of whom I believe they've looked at my websites and they've looked at my YouTube channel. You know, God help them. I mean, it's quite the journey they've undertaken, because let's face it, we talk about things that are extremely out there.
Right.
And to have somebody in your own family come to you and ask you about the chemtrails, and this is somebody that now has grandchildren. She's very concerned about that. That's grassroots. That's where you penetrate the consciousness at a real level. I don't ever give up. I don't say we're winning. I think we're prevailing right now. I think we're continuing to push information out despite even the enemies inside of our own tent in terms of this alternative media circus. The only things we can do about with the chemtrails right now is push the awareness envelope really hard. Do what we can do in mitigation on the ground, taking care of ourselves, using wisdom. And consciously and spiritually, we have to really, really hit this thing this year. I suspect this year is the window.
This is it. I feel it so much after looking at that bit this morning. I'm just going to take my "here's how you think for yourself" thing and run with it. So it's what I can do, Randy. It's what I can do. You know, it's what I can do. So I'm going to run with it. So the other thing that I don't know if you got a chance to see it this morning, but I forced Randy to look at an episode of 13. He may have done it. I said, look at this. We're going to talk later. And the reason I said, look at this, is because and this has all come up because of these stupid circus atmosphere events, but I started thinking again about this concept of the egregore, which is something that I was very, very interested in about 2002, 2003. This came from my anthroposophical studies. People were doing work on trying to understand what seemed to be a dark force underneath the governing body of anthroposophy. You see, I'm talking to you. Of course, you know about this kind of stuff. They thought that they could sense a dark entity, a separate dark entity, sort of surrounding the governance of the international movement. Well, that's because they could, because every group of people creates its own dark, how shall we say this?
Entities. We're spinning off entities.
All the time. And this is another thing I want to try to incorporate very hard into the workshops. There's all the stuff that's already in there. We're not even thinking about that anymore because we're thinking about the stuff that's battering us all the time from the outside. But that stuff is still in there, you know? These adversaries that are still in there are still in there. So it's not just the chatter from out here. It's also the chatter from in here. I want us to secure, for maybe one brief shining moment, that voice that's ours, and try to grab that ring. You know, oh, that's me. That's me. I can hear. That's me. You know, I think once you get the authentic, once you hear, if you want to put it that way, once you hear your authentic voice, which is probably inward, not outward, you'll know it. You'll know it, but it's going to be weak. Like a premature baby, like a kitten, you know, it has to be helped and nurtured and things like that. So anyway, I want to talk to Randy about this, because I think Randy knows a lot about the shadow side of everything. I think Randy knows, because Randy's been working on that for a long time recently. You've been working on it intensely for what, a year or two more?
But I've been working on it internally forever.
Forever.
I mean, this is my life story of dealing with the dark side.
Your life story.
It's, you know, everybody is essentially on this planet a victim of trauma on some level. Even the happiest and well-adjusted amongst us who put on their shiny, you know, slippers and dance about.
Right.
So, you know, at different levels on the continuum of trauma, we're all dealing with the shadow side, the dark side. What a lot of people don't realize, and what I've come to learn, is that we've actually, anybody who understands traumatic mind control, MK Ultra, classic stuff, it's been out there a long time, understands The part of the operation is to split the personality, to make usable assets out of alternative cells that are highly compartmentalized. That actually is a discovery that's very, very old. It's ancient wisdom. It was well known. We just have psychology now to cloak it in. What we don't understand is that spiritually, we do this ourselves. We spin off entities. This goes into your egregore and the concept that there are alternative selves, the multidimensional aspect of the human personality, which coexists in stacked realities, multi-levels. And I've done some talks about this, and it's a very difficult concept. But what you need to understand is that the human potential is that we are creators. We are creating our reality around us. We are the architects of that. The mind control that came in was a consensus reality where we agreed on a certain stream we call reality, and we operate within that. That's the consensual aspect. So we have our individual universes that we live in, and then they bump off of all the other universes. Internal to that is the mechanism of the mind, which is perfectly capable of splitting off different egoic personalities, different soul identifications, and even different temporal versions of ourselves. So if I haven't lost everybody yet, the simple answer is that we're spinning off threads of realities, just like hyper-threading inside of a computer processor. Mm-hmm. But we don't realize that we're focused in this reality. So the shadow selves aggregate into dark entities. We're casting off negative thoughts largely because we live in a state of hypnotism.
Yes.
And so that's kind of my nutshell on what is a really complex subject.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was also reading about, it's, as you know, we've decided to reverse engineer a lot of this stuff by taking pieces so that people can get a hold of them, instead of being sort of the trances. To call the trance intense is the understatement of the century. I mean, we are locked in the trance, man.
Yeah.
So you've got to get a piece of it. So if you get to the point where you can grab a piece, grab that piece, because you've got some power there that you may never have again, or you may never have had before. But one of the things I did was read some of the black magic stuff over again, my notes, black magic and government. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's answer this question, first of all. I was reading about statists, okay, because the government as a state requires a congregation. It requires worshipers. It requires, it's really just an idol, guys. It's pagan. It's a different kind of paganism in a way. It's a meme for sure, okay? And the god that statists themselves worship is brute force or coercion. Now, these are notes I used for Dangerous Imagination. The power that statists use to gain our consent is a flawed understanding of magic. Some supernatural force is meant to create trust out of nowhere. Sacred texts with magic properties, like constitutions, yeah. Mm-hmm. These are spells. These are sacred texts that the statists conjure in their pagan church of worship and convince us are magic. And some of it is. Okay, that's the thing about words. They really are magic, no matter what. But complex rituals form the apparatus of state, and I'm not just talking about monarchies. You know, obviously, I'm talking about any state, and the trappings contribute to that divine aura. Now, all justifications of state ultimately boil down to religious worship of the state as an almighty supernatural authority. Statism is a meme. It diverts existing emotions from their rightful targets, severely distorts the way infected people, all right, it's an infection, view the world to begin with, and it must bypass natural defense systems of the human mind. Again, this is what we're talking about. Bypassing the natural defense systems of the human mind, which is its immunity system, However, it cannot destroy all human understanding. Otherwise, infected humans would not last long enough to pass on the infection. The ur evil that infects humans' minds is black magic. Now, I just got through saying that it's the state, statism, the government, right? Government rule of black magic. That's what we're in right now. We've been in that for a long time. Now, Randy, I want to ask you a really odd question, but I hope it spins off into a good thought process for you. Are there rational justifications for government? If government is the answer to something, if government is the answer to something, then what is the question? It got there somehow with our consent on some level. So what's the question that government answers?
Well, we'll go right into the incantation side of it. What does government mean? It means to rule over the mind. Govern mentis. Mm-hmm. Just go look at the Latin roots of those two words, and right away you understand that you have mind control baked into this. You know, that comes from our Roman Latin roots, and those are the roots they thread the whole way back to Sumeria, Mesopotamia, in terms of organizational principles of large government bodies. Do I think that government, as it's called, is necessary? I think organization of humans along a scale is necessary. We live in a world where we have to deal with resources. We trade with each other. There's obviously defense issues because there are those among us who are predators and need to be defended against. The scale on which we are doing it, which is, it's inherently global, you know, people talk about the New World Order. We've been in a New World Order in some form or fashion for a very long time. You know, you could argue about when it started. I would say by the end of the Second World War in 1947, we certainly were in a New World Order system where we then had the ability to enforce it. The UN came in, the National Security Act in the United States, the militarization of governments at a level we've never seen because of the nuclear issue. All of this is spellcraft, even right down to, we just went through it here in the United States, so it's fresh in everybody's mind, the inauguration of a president, which is a magical ceremony. Black book, he raises his hand, he is sworn in by a minister who is known as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. There are crowds of people. Caesar goes to his balcony. He delivers a message, just like the Pope does on special occasions. These are, you know, there's variations on all this, but it is a spell that's cast over everyone. Even those who, like me, who are marginally interested in politics are impacted by it because of the emanations that come from this.
Randy, what do you think? Because, you know, I'm not political anymore. I mean, not in the way that you know, one would define being political, but I have to tell you, those of us in the alternative community, there must be billions of us, because Trump really ran on some alt stuff. You know, he really ran on some alt stuff, and I'll tell you what, he got my hopes up. He got my hopes up about vaccines. He got my hopes up about pedophilia. He got my hopes that the Clintons would be perp walked to some jail and I would actually get to see it. I mean, I was really, and I'm not married to an American, so he can be a lot more objective about like what just everything that comes across the table. And so would say, oh, it doesn't look like Trump's, you know, Trump's looks like Trump's facade as well. And I would really, really get upset. I would really, really get upset, and I was surprised at myself. I realized it didn't take me very long to realize that I had placed so much hope in that window. You remember we talked about that window between one thing and the next thing.
Yeah.
And I was so hoping that we collectively, unconsciously, would go through that in some kind of way, you know, to help ourselves in a real conscious, to help ourselves in a really conscious way. And those just happened. He also said he was going to put a stop to chemtrails, God damn it. He did. He said that.
And yet the article that you posted out and I posted out this morning indicates that we're about to see it go on a scale we probably haven't seen before.
Exactly. So. I was in Heidelberg three years ago during the general election there when Obama wanted Merkel to commit German troops to Syria. And I thought I was going to drown in what was coming down from the sky. I literally thought I was going to lose my life that day. Right now, there are how many people do you know who are sick and can't get well? It seems like it's a lot worse right now. I know several people. Yeah. They've been sick forever. They can't get well. It's that chemtrail flu, which, you know, you say stuff like that and it sounds, oh, like it's not so bad. Like Flintstones Band-Aids or something, you know? Okay. No, but that's not, but if they're sick, man, they're sick and they can't get well. And this is what we've been afraid of. That tipping point is what we've been afraid of. Anyway, I was really surprised at my vehemently emotional reaction to any verbalizing of cracks in Trump's stuff, you know? So, I don't know. What was I talking about?
No, everybody, look, as early as March of 2016, I was on another host show. And I talked then about what Trump was, that he was a neoliberal. He had very deep ties to crime families that run, obviously, the gambling industry in the United States, the real estate markets, that I didn't see a real possibility that any of what Trump was saying had any basis in reality, that he was, he's a very shrewd media person. And anybody that's watched him knows that. He knows how to build and sell a product. The product you was sold was the populist Donald Trump, who went on the campaign trail, is very convincing. He galvanized everything from the alt-right to the extreme edges of independent people who, quite frankly, were already out of the system. Good enough that he had me at one point almost convinced that, gosh, maybe I should do something I haven't done in almost 20 years, vote. But right. I realized there's legal attachments to that. I can't do that. I'm out of that system. So that would mean me reclaiming U.S. citizenship, which I will not do. So we, in post-election period of time, had to go through an incubation period and watch him pull his administration together, watch the people parade through. And then eventually what happened was there was a transition team. The transition team is swapped out. The permanent people come in. Well, lo and behold, who are the permanent people? There's more people from Goldman Sachs inside the Trump administration than any administration we've seen to date.
Right.
So the wolf is literally inside the tent, ready to devour the sheep. That's a hard truth. And the people Donald, understand you got snookered. And what you do with that?
I don't know. One of the things that I said, I think it was when that giant bomb got dropped. What do they call that? Moab?
The Moab, you know? Mother of all bombs. Yeah.
Mother of all bombs. Just 2 seconds after there was some kind of fracas in Syria, where I think Russia may have destroyed most of what we sent that way. But anyway, that was a pretty nasty 2 days or 3 days or something for just for your psyche, for, you know, what's going on over there.
Within a 7-day run-up, you had the Syria bombings, pretext on the release of sarin gas.
And yeah.
They did the Moab. That was actually a build-up that went right into Passover / Easter. Notice
yep.
that. Always pay attention to what's going on in calendars. Religious yep. calendars, occult calendars. They do rituals. They do. Now we're in this weird mm-hmm. place between the Passover and May 1st, which is, what, that's Beltane?
Yes, yes, and that's the ritual sacrifice.
Sacrificial holiday.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is. I added a chapter on that, Catholicism, the Vatican Savior Programming. And I just learned about that particular time, you know, why was it so important to the Pope to, you know, keep Easter a movable feast and all that jazz, you know, because it has to do with the astrology, it has to do with the astronomy, the sun, you know, the energy that can be collected by that entity, buy globally. But you know, Rockefeller just quote unquote died right in this serious energy spike. I'm now, I think, on film a couple of times, insisting that he probably didn't die. He probably transmigrated. Yeah. And it wasn't too long before Trump started acting like a complete baboon, completely reversed himself, that Rockefeller died. So I think I'm now on record saying, I wonder where he went. I don't think he's dead. I don't think a man who's going to have 7 heart transplants is going to allow his carcass to die. You know, not really. I think he's taken advantage of this ritual time of the year, and he has gone somewhere. I mean, this is not unusual. They talk about this kind of thing.
I call it soul jumping.
Yeah.
This was Aleister Crowley, who's still about. Yeah. Crowley's, yeah. You know, if you go look at all the numerology, William Ramsey does a great job of breaking this down. The Crowley code behind 9/11 and the fact that Crowley was basically, Montauk survivors have repeatedly said Crowley was behind the scenes at Montauk and other mind control operations. That sounds completely insane and exotic until you realize the occult level that these people have attained and how dumbed down we are spiritually.
Yes, and I think that as much as he may have been genuinely himself when he was running for president, maybe, he's maybe not himself anymore. Because it was right about that time when things just did a 180 so fast. And it was like, whoa, okay, so he's lied about the whole thing, and here we are. And anyway, I don't know. Like I said, I don't usually
let's go back there for a minute. You just hit on something.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the transitions that happened. Look at Obama. Look at the Obama who ran for president as a young senator. And look at the Obama who walked out of the White House 8 years later.
Yeah.
You tell me first that this is the same person, or that this is even the same soul personality. Remember the inauguration, that's the bringing in of a spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you're bringing in a spirit at the same time that you're all stuck. I was in Washington, D.C. last September 11th, we went down to a rally for 9/11. It's the first time I had been in D.C. in probably 20 years, and I only live an hour and 10 minutes away from metro D.C. area. I have to tell you that standing there, looking at the reflecting pool, feeling the energies in D.C., I felt like I was in a black cauldron. The energetics coming from that place are unbelievable.
Right.
You are stepping into a vortex of mind control and black magic when you're in Washington, D.C. Mr. Trump, whatever his real personality is, the persona, which is the corporate entity now enjoying to this United States entity, is very distinct from the living soul Donald Trump that ran for U.S. president.
I think that's right. I think you're absolutely right, Randy. And I knew that was actually, I mean, this was becoming extremely highlighted when his family refused to move to D.C. They stayed in New York, and I thought, of course they did. Of course they stayed in New York, because if they set foot in D.C., they're part of that cauldron.
Trump knows that, yeah.
So there's some chatter, too, is that Bill Clinton's on death's door. Have you seen that?
I've seen that, yeah. Yeah, he's been dying for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, both of them haven't they?
Interesting,
though, that it's now. That, again, makes me think that the energy force has been pulled.
Watch and see if Bill Clinton passes between now and Beltane.
Yeah, that would be a hell of an energy sacrifice.
Bill Clinton is a Rockefeller. Bill Clinton is a Rockefeller. When you go back through history and you realize he is one of the illegitimate offspring of the Rockefeller family. That was how he got launched into power. So he's spiritually connected to David Rockefeller. So let's just watch. Totally wrong, but there we go.
No. I know that they're well, that's what this whole year has been about. Upping the ante of the people who get shoved off the cliff, you know? And I thought for a long time it was to to try to get the reins back, the power reins back by sacrificing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger personalities, you know? And maybe that's what it is. Maybe this is a big, big, big sacrifice.
That was like last year, which again, you know, you go back to the beginning of 2016, which started with the death of David Bowie and ripped through the whole year till we lost Prince, George Michaels, I mean, Don Henley. There was a whole pantheon of people that dropped out at this point. Did they really die? I've said on the record that the death of David Bowie was an act of theater on his part, and that here again, the artifice, the creation David Bowie did indeed die. The David Jones, who was the living soul behind David Bowie, I'm sorry, I think he's still around, as I think most of these people are.
Right. Well, then you had Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds within 20. I mean, it's just the icons. It's the icons, you know?
It's icons, yeah.
Real icons. And it just gets, the ante is upped every month. So the idea that Clinton might die between now and May 1st is, when is that? That's like 2 days from now.
Yeah, it's actually Monday. So we have a Bill Clinton death watch. You may have not
seen a death watch right now. Yeah,
you may not see this video before that date. So,
yes, you will.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and we do videos, and it takes us a week to put them out.
Why? Why does it take? Because you make
because
them
I post produce and there's backlogs and yeah.
Yeah, well, this will probably go up as is, but we'll see. I'm just getting started in doing this. Did you notice that Saudi Arabia has been made the head of the Human Rights Commission at the UN for the next 2 years?
Yeah, specifically women's rights.
Women's rights?
Yeah.
What the hell?
That enshrines Sharia law pretty effectively, doesn't it? Get your veils out, ladies.
Right, and I just saw, I don't know if it's real or not, but I just saw a Twitter from Chelsea Clinton talking about female
mutilation.
Genital mutilation. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, genital mutilation. She wasn't just talking about female, by the way. She was very specific about the fact that she said it was not mutilation. I forget the term she used. She
sanitary practice or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was something ridiculous.
Yeah, so basically she came out in favor of genital mutilation. So
we're just informing you guys.
Genital mutilation is part of the Abrahamic religions of Judaism, Islam, and its stepchild Christianity. They've all practiced circumcision, although the New Testament in the Bible actually taught against circumcision of non-Jews, but Yahweh was insisting that the men...
They all get it.
Yeah.
Well, it changes their brain and makes them better soldiers, I suppose, right?
Of course.
So listen, I want you to tell me, now I'm really going to put you on the spot right now, okay? But I want you to tell me and talk two things. Tell me and talk about the biggest, foulest piece of black magic that you're thinking about right now that's underway. That's number one. And number two, I don't know this U.S. citizenship story, Randy, so I'm going to ask you to tell me about that. Why aren't you, you're not a U.S. citizen anymore? Do we need to not say that on this program?
No, I don't mind saying that. I don't mind saying that at all. Okay, the biggest black magic we're under right now is the spell cast that's coming out of Washington, D.C. They are pretexting nuclear war as a control mechanism to mind control people to comply with what is coming down the pike out of the Trump administration.
All right.
Most of the alternative people out there, and especially the ones that voted for Trump, and I've seen the pushback, I've been defriended, I've been cursed, don't understand what they elected in Donald Trump. But it's not just Donald Trump. There was going to be whoever this next president was anyway. So the black cube that hovers over D.C. that is the dimensional aspect of the obelisk and the reflecting pool is emanating huge power right now. They are actually consolidating their power and trending towards some horrible nuclear holocaust if they can pull it off. I don't think they can, but I think they're going to try.
Can you talk a little bit more about this black cube?
The black cube is simply the Saturn moon matrix, which is the invocation of the deity. The obelisk, Cleopatra's needle, with its corollaries located in various places, specifically at the Vatican. There's one in London? An obelisk?
Maybe. An obelisk? Oh gosh, sure, there's tons of them here.
They're all over the place. Those are power centers. Those are kind of like the grid.
Mm-hmm.
What I call the black cube, the black box system, which is the matrix. It is the overmind that controls us because we've given it consent.
Right. This is that black.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Which is the corollary to what I said about U.S. citizen. So people were going to ask me, well, what did you do? What kind of papers did you file? Well, it's more the papers I don't file. It's more the actions I don't take. I'll go back to 1992, which was the first year I stopped filing federal income tax returns. And every year since that, I have to be careful here because I don't want anybody.
Yes, you be careful, please.
I don't want anybody to get in trouble. Legal advice. I'm not worried about it. I'm fine. Right. I just understand that this requires a lot of wisdom.
Right.
I have refused to file papers, sign forms, consent. I have gradually, over a very long period of time, withdrawn my consent. There is, at this point, no way to construe that I am, quote, a U.S. citizen or a, capital letters, United States citizen, because there's no paper trail for it anymore.
Right, okay.
Other than still holding a current passport, which I had no choice about because I had to go out of the country, there's really no documentation left. And a U.S. passport doesn't tie me to being a U.S. citizen. It's issued by the State Department. It's a way for us to travel. Again,
it's a way to get out.
It's the only way to get out.
It's the way to get out. You got to get out. You got to have it. So you keep it.
So, you know, my point in saying that is that this, I couldn't go back and register to vote because I understand what registering means. For me to vote for U.S. president would be to consent to being governed by this government system. And I don't consent to it. And
right.
I invoke that non-consent in just about everything. Refusal to sign papers. If I have encounters with the police, I make it very clear that I understand what their jurisdiction is and I invoke my own jurisdiction. There's no recipe or formula for any of this. The people in the freedom movement need to understand you need to study law, you need to study how things function, you have to find your own way to do this. Far too many people have gone to prison. And some deservedly so, by the way, too. Winston Shrout just got sentenced. Well, Winston Shrout was pulling down $500,000 a year, selling freedom information, and also tossing all kinds of bonds in the Treasury Department. If you're going to play their money game, you're not getting out of the system, which goes back to this whole alternative media thing.
Right.
And co-opted because of the money.
Right. Exactly. So this is my recommendation to everybody out there. You need to start paying attention to the little guy. And when I say the little guy, I just mean the single solitary person who's doing the research and providing you with clean, genuine information and, struggling to get it out there and all that kind of stuff. Because believe you me, the people who are doing this honestly and authentically are not going to be invited into the club. They're just not. And that's what I've found out in the last 5 or 6 years. And it really made me mad, but it happens over and over and over and over and over. And so I have to think I must be doing something right then, because as long as I'm going to continue this kind of stuff, as long as I'm going to continue to try to tell what I feel is the absolute truth, I'm a threat, just like you are, Randy. We're threats to these little clubs of info dollar gatherers, who have become brands. And there are people who are, for example, I'm not gonna name any names because I don't want to, but there are people that have a message that's similar enough to mine, especially when it comes to especially when it comes to the Fae and things like that. Similar enough, but very slick, and maybe has gotten a little bit lazy and maybe manipulated to suit their own purposes. You know, that's kind of how we do a lot of times. We decide, we think something is the case, and then we go looking for verification rather than like seeing something in front of us and then deciding what it is that is. But that's human nature, you know. I mean, you can't get too upset with people about that. But I'm never going to be invited to be in the same speaking arena with someone with a similar message, you know. And so there are people, these are pieces of the circus, you know. There's like the elephant bit, and there's the clown bit, and there's the bumper car bit, and there's the high wire bit, and there's the trapeze act, you know. And they've just become this giant shiny candy box. So this is anyway, please be sure that you understand that the individual, the sovereign individual who's trying to do this and probably paying for it out of their own pocket, is bringing you better information, better, more genuine information.
Definitionally, by the way, you are not a person. That is a legal entity. You are okay. You are a people.
I'm a people.
You are a people.
So plural is better.
Technically, the word people is singular and plural. So, we need to bear that in mind because we got to start getting our words right. We're dealing with spellcraft.
Absolutely.
Get your words lined up. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Spellcraft. Let's have a whole show about spellcraft. We'll,
that's
I'll
awesome.
Do some
stuff.
Research. Yeah. Shall we do that?
Yeah.
That
we should
have like a weekly thing.
And I'll actually maybe do some show prep. I'll actually put some skin on the game.
Cool. Because I know you can. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I can.
Yeah, I'm just running dizzy these days.
Don't worry. I asked you at the last minute, basically, anyway. But I do have a friend over here who's got a weekly gig, something like that, or maybe it's every 2 weeks. Anyway, they've done like 100 weeks in a row. It's a really popular deal. People just tune in to see what's going on, you know? So we could do that. That would be awesome. Let's do spellcraft next time. I'll see. Mm-hmm. I know you're super, super, super busy. I know you are, and you have very little free time. I know that.
That's okay. But, you know, this is a priority. You and I have made space for each other for, you know,
absolutely.
Several years now.
Absolutely. I will try to not you know, be bulldozy
like I can be.
But I will try. Let's do spellcraft next time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So is there anything else you want to talk about this morning or this afternoon?
Nope, I think we covered enough. I think people out there will watch this and go, oh.
I know they will. They'll be like, oh, my God, there's Randy and Kara again. What are they doing?
Yeah.
What kind of trouble are they getting into now?
Give you a little something to marinate with. Yeah.
I'm going to be in the States for a couple weeks soon. Okay, I'll get with you then, yeah?
Okay.
Because it's easier.
Excellent.
It's easier,
most
right?
Most excellent, yeah.
Okay, Randy, thank you so much, my love.
Thank you, Kara.
Have a really, really good day.
You too.
Yeah.
And bye to all of you out there.
Yeah, bye.